take a guess. Oh, happy birthday. Oh, never for the free guess. Never for the guess.
Isn't that great? It also proves that, wives, you put up with a lot, don't you? Hey, I'm finishing out the series this week as we look at what matters most, hopefully not just to us, but to God as well. And I think as we roll through life, we think about those things more. I don't know if you remember Dave, any of you remember Dave Barry, writer, any of you, him? He wrote on his 50th birthday sort of the things that he thought really mattered in commemoration of that. And he wanted to give us some advice. Number one, never under any circumstances take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. Isn't that good advice? Number two, never like a steak knife. Number three, the most destructive force in the world is gossip. Number four, the one thing that unites human beings, regardless of age, gender, religion, economic status, or ethnic background, is that deep down inside, we all believe we're above average drivers. Number five, there comes a time when you should stop expecting other people to make such a big deal about your birthday. That time is age 11. And some of you, are that's news to you. So never be afraid to try anything new. Remember that a lone amateur built the Ark, but a group of professionals built the Titanic. Sorry, engineers. So you should never say, the final one, you should never say anything to a woman that even remotely suggests that you think she's pregnant unless you can see an actual baby emerging from her at that moment. Isn't that great? Well, we all learn things in life, and you know, oftentimes what happens is we think that, you know, what we're doing is difficult. And that's true. Forbes magazine came out with the most difficult jobs. Let's see if yours is on there. I'm sure it's probably not. The way they came up with these is outdoor work environments, unpredictable weather, strenuous labor, long hours, maybe away from home, minimal pay. They said top four, one is loggers, lumberjacks. That we have some of those in the Northwest. Dairy farmer, and that guy does not look happy, does he? Military personnel, obviously, very dangerous. Oil rig workers. And this one they didn't have, but my guess is that this person has the most difficult job. This is the new bachelorette because of all the stress she's going to be under, you know? And you think about it, the job that God has given us, I think, is one of the most difficult jobs in the world. Not just people who are pastors, but those of us who would be followers of Christ. He gives us this assignment that we would take the teachings of Jesus, someone who we haven't met, we've learned about, maybe we've experienced his presence, and that we would share these with people around the world and really even in our own community. Matthew 28:19. If you're following online, you can download this or look at the notes there, or maybe take your outline out of your program. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, think about that. Oftentimes we'll read that and we'll go too fast over that. About the big assignment that God has for us. And I want to look at that. Let's look at that again. I'm going to read this very, very slowly for those of you who are from my hometown, Tacoma, watching online. Anyway, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And Jesus is saying to people 2,000 years ago and to us today, is what I want you to do is I want you to take my teachings. I want you to tell people they can experience me. And people who are parenting a certain way, using their finances a certain way, handling their sexuality a certain way. And I want you to talk to them and say, you know, that there's so much more to life than that. And I want you to help them experience what it means to come to know me. Sort of like I want you to tell them to change from their product to our product and then go into sales. Sort of like Amway on steroids. And Jesus is saying, this is the assignment that I have for you, turning atheists and agnostics into missionaries. Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's a huge task. It's overwhelming. To all the world, to good people, to bad people, to indifferent people, to all creation, to everyone. Preach to dogs. Tell them what heaven's going to be like. Preach to cats. Tell them what hell's going to be like. cat people, they get so mad at me. I don't know if there are any left at Timberlake, quite honestly. See, here's the truth. People will live forever. You know that you're going to live forever? That everyone you meet is going to live forever. You say, well, what if they're not a follower of Christ? What if they don't know God? What about really bad people in the world? Everyone's going to live forever. They're going to either live in the presence of God or apart from the presence of God. See, oftentimes what we'd like to believe is that bad people just cease to exist. The Bible doesn't teach that. Or sort of all good dogs go to heaven. This last week or so, we had a couple people die unexpectedly, which, by the way, it sort of is always unexpectedly when it happens. But these are people who are not at an age or that you would think this would happen, didn't have, wasn't battling disease for a long period of time. And it's interesting at that moment when you go to a memorial service, how life is in focus. People don't ask, well, you know, what was this golf game like? How did he do at work? Did he ever reach senior corporate vice president? Usually what they ask are a couple things. How's the family? And what did he do with God? I'm speaking male because it was two men who died. What did that person do with their relationship with God? And I got to let you know, if you're visiting this week, one, you're visiting on a Memorial Day weekend, which is awesome. But I got to let you know what we're about. We're about taking the words of Jesus and trying to have the heart of Jesus. So when people face this life and they face struggles and pain and divorce and economic stress, when they face a sense of success yet loneliness at the same time, that they'll know that God can be right in the center of that, and God can transform that. One of the people who died, I was talking to some of the family members, and they were talking about how he went from being a church person to a God person, really following Jesus Christ. And it all transformed, especially in the last year of his life. And you know what? I believe that's fundamentally what matters. What you do now matters. Job, work, parent, that is very, very important. But in the end, it's, do I have a heart for Jesus? Am I helping other people understand what that means? Because we talk about at Timberlake that it's so important that people understand that God is for them and not against them. And do I experience that as well? Well, think about when Jesus gave this assignment to his disciples. To go tell the whole world. Really, back then, how would you do that? They didn't have airplanes, they didn't have cars, they didn't have trains. Can you believe that? No Facebook, no Twitter, no LinkedIn. The only communication they had, system they had was telewoman, which was the fastest form of communication. Send the emails to jordan@timberlakechurch.com. I just want to make sure you're still paying attention this morning. You know there's food out there. And I'm the only thing keeping you from those hamburgers. So go ahead and, you know, I'm great. We have had such a large crowd this weekend, but also you just need to hold on. You'll eat in a moment. So what's the biggest hurdle to this? What's the biggest hurdle to us being on mission with Jesus Christ and to us experiencing the peace and the presence of Jesus Christ as well? The biggest hurdle is self-focus. Self-focus. That oftentimes, who do we think about the most? Me. And that's normal and natural, but it's always not the most helpful. And so how do we change focus? We go to Jesus and says, what were Jesus's priorities? Look at what it says. Luke 4. Jesus is basically, these are people who had learned the Bible their whole life, but and they probably heard the scripture, but it means so much more at this moment. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because God has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Bam! He's saying, that's it. Sort of like a rapper stating his case, dropping his mic. And he's saying, you know, Eminem. No, I don't want to. Jesus and Eminem aren't the same. But some of you are saying, oh, really? Because some of you just don't know the Bible very well. Anyway, so what we're doing is we're looking at Jesus is saying, this is what's happening today because I'm here and I'm present. And you know, what I want us to look at is, what does that mean? What does it mean to be on his mission? He says, I'm here to proclaim good news and hope to the poor. People who have physical poverty, spiritual poverty, Mother Teresa said, is the worst poverty of all poverty. People who are blind, spiritually blind, relationally blind, to set the oppressed free. People who've been kicked around by culture, by church, by their own family, to mend the brokenhearted. You know, one of the things you look at Jesus as he dealt with people who had failed severely in life and even walked away from God, he never puts them down. He never makes them feel stupid. He doesn't devalue them. He embraces them. He engages them. He talks to them. And somehow, he finds a way to enter their world. So if I want to have a heart like Jesus, that's what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm going to be about. See, sometimes we can be so distant. You know, it's great to look at this last year as you look at sort of what God's been doing, maybe even in our own church. Good things happening, church growing, all of the building projects and all of that. That is important. Trust me, that's important. But if we ever lose focus that what really is important is that we have the heart of Jesus Christ. It's not just bigger buildings and more crowds. It's saying, Jesus, do I have your heart? Is my heart broken for the things that break your heart? So what I want to look at is how can you and I personally have a heart like Jesus? Are you ready for that? Okay, go ahead, and we're going to do some fill-in-the-blanks. Ushers, I know there's some folks still trying to get seats. If we can go ahead and maybe guys in the sound booth help them out, show them where they can find a free seat in the auditorium. Evidently, a lot of people are out of money this weekend. It's pretty full for a Memorial Day weekend. I don't even know if I'm going to bother with the offering, honestly. No. Nah. I'm just kidding. I'm really just kidding. So the but if we can usher us back there, Adrian, you can help people out. So number one, how can we have a heart like Jesus? Number one, we must care about what Jesus cares about. What does Jesus care about? People. It says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Not that he was paralyzed by compassion or immobilized by compassion, that he was moved. We read in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When he saw a crowd, he had compassion. Often, you know, we see a crowd and we think, oh, how am I going to get out of the parking lot? What's the line going to be like at the checkout for my kids? And do we have compassion? That's what Jesus would want us to do. You know, sometimes we can get confused. Holiness, one of the things we teach right here is that everyone has a next right step. That every, if you're a Christian, there's a step for you to grow in your relationship with Christ. One of the biblical terms for that is holiness. That's a good thing. But sometimes what we do is we can focus on that and we forget God's heart for people. That yes, we're to grow spiritually. Yes, we're to live our lives in a way that honors God. But we also remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Who did he love? Everyone. He loved everyone. He loved people who don't vote the way you do. He loves people who struggle with sexual purity. He loves people who sin in all sorts of ways. He loves them. And so if we ever say, I don't know if I care about those people, you're at the wrong church, quite honestly. Because we want to have a heart like Jesus Christ. He loves your weird uncle. Isn't that great? He loves us so much that he's decided not to leave us isolated alone, but to bring us together and by adopting us into his family, a spiritual family called the church. And I just want you to know, maybe someone even brought you because they're barbecued this weekend at church. And it doesn't matter who you feel doesn't want you. God wants you. And we want you to be part of this church family. And you don't have to have your act together because you know what? God is going to do the transformation when you allow him to be front and center in your life. Well, as we care about what Jesus cares about, we also need to be indifferent to what Jesus is indifferent to. You know, some things that seem like big things don't last forever. You know, we think about that maybe, you know, what's on TMZ this week? Who's in People magazine? You know, Kelly Pickler won Dancing with the Stars. I know that was a very big deal. Maybe it's the things we have as well. You think our possessions. You think about some of the things as a kid. Any of you, are any of you from the pre-video game generation? A few of you. Any of you from the Pong generation? Okay, I want to show you what Pong is, by the way. This is great. See this little light? In the 70s, this was over $100, this game. Isn't that awesome? And then we came to what? Nintendo? Isn't that great? Any of you have that? You remember how there was a little bit of magic involved because if the cartridge didn't work, you had to take it out and blow on it and make it work. And then the Sega Genesis. Now we have the Xbox, Xbox Kinect, and the new Xbox. And all the sort of fun things, and we get caught up in those things, which are fun. And don't get me wrong, material things can be a blessing from God. But you know what? They're not eternal things. They're not eternal things. And sometimes what can happen is because we focus on ourselves, we can make ourselves the center, and instead of saying, Jesus, I want to have your heart. I was talking to someone who doesn't go to this church, goes to another church, and they were saying, you know, oh yeah, you know, I'm not too happy with my church. And here, the big deal was, you know, is because it really not the right music. And good music is great. We have a great worship team. I'm excited about this. But at their church, he didn't like their music. He said, man, I went to a church that had that 80s rock. And man, I need to find another church. I've been looking for 20 years to find 80s rock. And, you know, me being the kind, compassionate person, I said, dude, you don't need a new church. You need a time machine is what you need. But really, if you're a follower of Christ, I don't want to be too harsh here, but don't get that petty with the assignment that Jesus Christ has given you. That it's not, if you don't know Jesus, this is all about you. Once you've committed your life to Jesus, it's all about him and his priorities. And somehow Jesus says, when I lose my life, I find it. Have you found your life? Because the question, if you haven't lost it yet, you won't find it. I talk to people all the time. And, you know, this I love our church, great area, a lot of creative thinkers, people succeeding. They say, I just feel like I don't know why I'm not happy. And that's because you haven't lost your life yet. You haven't died yet. Because when you died to yourself, Jesus said, I'll give you a better life than you could ever imagine. And it's so counterintuitive. And I think the lie of the enemy of our souls is just keep on focusing on you and you'll be happier. If that was the case, it would have happened by now, wouldn't it? Because some of us, we're 50 years into it. And we're thinking, that'll be it. I think it was John Rockefeller was asked, the richest man in the world, asked, hey, you're the richest man in the world. How much money do you want? He said, just a little bit more. And that's what we just think. It's just a little bit more, and I'll be there. Well, what was Jesus indifferent to? Human approval, impressing others. I talked about politics. And that's hard for some of us. I was a political science major in college. And I realize that it's important to vote. I vote every election. If you don't know how to vote, I'll tell you how to vote. But you know, have you learned that doesn't really change things in the way that really changes a human heart? In fact, the greatest political transformation ever was early Christianity. People, how they viewed children, how they viewed life and death, how they viewed sexuality, how they viewed the disabled. And it was not a governmental initiative. It was God had changed so many human hearts that they said, okay, we need a new agenda. Religious traditions. We talked about how much or how little money you have. God says, I'll make you a promise. If you care about me and my promises first, I'll take care of your needs. Not everything we want, but I'll take care of your needs. Number three, we must be angry at what Jesus is angry at. Now, this might sound a little strange because Timberlake, we're not known as an angry church. We're not out there where we hate this people and those people and all those other people. That's not us. Because I believe that's not what God's called us to. But there is a righteous anger. And the righteous anger, the self-focused anger is all about me or all about my prejudices. But the righteous anger is saying, there are some things that are not right. And I want to, you think about Jesus. Oftentimes, the pictures, the old pictures of Jesus in the flowing robe and the blue sash with lip gloss on or something like that. You get those pictures. But what did Jesus do for a living? He was a carpenter. Have you ever hung out with carpenters? And you know who his friends were? Fishermen, the guys from Deadliest Catch. And there were times when he got so angry, when he saw people. And it's interesting, a lot of times we'll think of the social things, and I think that is important too. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But when he saw people trying to come to God and other people saying, putting barriers in front of them, Jesus got angry. He threw tables. He said, no, don't ever put a barrier between someone turning from their sin and finding salvation in God. And so that's one of the things we always look at as a church. I'm sure we make plenty of mistakes as well. But see, Jesus got angry about that. When we think about people who are dying of preventable diseases, 30 million people a year, we should be doing something about that. And as we look at that, as a church, one of the primary missions we've had, if you know, so much of what we do has to do with orphans and widows. Because what we've tried to figure is who are the people who are the most defenseless in the world? And we want to care about that when we look globally. Locally, people who've been turned off by God and told that they're not good enough. And the fact is none of you are good enough. But Jesus is. And Jesus got angry when that kind of thing happened. Now, it says in Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. So he says, okay, go ahead and learn to do that. And then I have to ask myself, am I willing to be the answer? Am I willing to be the answer? I don't want to pray about something that I'm not willing to get personally involved in. And you might be here and you say, you know, I don't even know if I know God the way you talk about him. Well, I hope you get this. I hope you get the heart of God for you. That God would, he would hold nothing back so you could come to know him. For some of us, you say, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. And then we have to ask ourselves, do I have a heart like Jesus? Do I really care about what Jesus cares about? Or have I let other things become a priority? Am I indifferent to what Jesus is indifferent to? Or have I let my personal preferences become my own religion? And am I angry at those things that God's angry about? And will I get personally involved? And that leads to number four. We must sacrifice for what Jesus sacrificed for. That's the whole message of the Bible, right? It says, Mark 10:45, for even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. See, the real question is, am I going to be available? You know who God uses? God uses those who aren't perfect, who haven't finally gotten their act together. God uses people who are available. And so one of the things I would ask is, will you personally sacrifice with your time and resources for people who maybe you don't even know, who aren't even anything like you, and who aren't following Jesus? God uses those who are available. It says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Now, for some of you, here's the good news. Last weekend was the giving talk, so we're not going to do that right now. But we're going to talk about giving more than money. We're going to say, will I make my entire life available to the plan and purposes of Jesus Christ? One of the people who passed away this week, they were talking about all the people, and some of you here who made an impact, people in recovery group, people in a small group, people who helped baptize. And know that every time you say, I'm willing to have a heart like Jesus, I'm willing to make Jesus' priorities my priorities, that you make an impact for eternity. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that as we come to you this morning, we can come with, I pray, Lord, an open heart and mind. God, that we would be willing to ask ourselves a real tough question. Are our priorities, are they the same as yours? And God, as our heart, do we have a heart after you, Jesus? And so, God, there are some of us who are here, as we think about this Memorial Day weekend and those who have sacrificed their lives that we would have freedom as a country and be able to even worship here today. Lord, we think of the ultimate sacrifice that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins, for our redemption and our salvation. And God, we would just want to respond in a way where we would say, here I am. God, I don't even know what you're going to ask me to do. But even before you ask the question, you have my yes. I want to get personally involved. I want to have a heart like yours. And God, I just don't want to think about it. I just don't want to study about it. But I want to be available. And my prayer is right now is that God would speak to you. that God would speak to you, that very place where he's uniquely assigned you, that you would be available to him. Maybe it's right as you go home today and you'd say, you know what? I have not even been there for my own family. But I'm gonna make that change. And God, I need your help every step of the way. Or at work, or maybe it's something well beyond that in our community or in our world. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Ben, you know, I don't know if I know Jesus the way that you talk about him, but I'd like to. And if that's you, I hope you've gotten God's heart for you. And God makes an offer to each and every one of us that if we would come with our successes and our failures and our sin, that he would, and we lay them before Jesus, that he would forgive us and free us and show us how to live in a way that makes sense. And if that's you and you say, you know what, I want to know God that way, then I'd like to invite you in a prayer. And would invite you to pray with me. You pray silently, I'll pray out loud. Give you a sense of privacy in a public place. You'd say something like this. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. And I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for my sin, to forgive me. And I need that forgiveness. And God, I choose not to just think about you or believe in you. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And God, I don't even know if I have the strength to do it, but I pray that you will give me that strength. And the Bible says when you make that commitment to him, that you can know this about your eternity and your life now, that your eternity has changed, that you will be forever in the presence of God, that you will, when you die from this life, whether it's 100 years from now or much sooner than that, that you will be with God and it'll be in a place that is even hard for us to explain or imagine. But it's a place where God is. And God's presence will be with you right now, that he'll send his Holy Spirit to give you strength and that you won't be alone. In fact, the scripture says that God will never leave you or give up on you. Lord, I pray for my friends who have prayed that prayer, who made that commitment to say yes to you, Jesus, today. And God, I pray that you would let them see your heart for them. And God, even more than that, that we would have your heart. Lord Jesus, we pray as we've looked at all these things that really matter, God, that you would help us not only to understand, but to respond. And we trust that you will give us the strength and the wisdom to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.